أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, last week we were talking about the testing of the believers. And just to go very quickly, remind you of what we discussed. We discussed the ayah that says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah has created the death and life to test which of you will do the best. And then he went on to try and examine the way for success. How can we pass through this test? And again, we refer to the Quran when it says, وَإِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبَعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. And this is my straight path, follow my straight path and you will not go astray. Then we went on to discuss other things, but we also discussed what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us about, that at the end of time you're going to see a lot of differences and a lot of paths, and if you want to pass your exams and your tests, you have to stay on the straight path. And then we discussed what happened to Bani Israel and how they went astray because of the weakness and the flimsiness of their faith. And we came to the conclusion that the best way to pass the tests, to pass through this life, is to have a strong faith. Because if you have a strong faith, if you have a strong iman in Allah, and that He is the creator and the sustainer, and if you have a strong faith in the hereafter, this is the path, this is the way. This is the only guarantee that we are not going to go astray, especially in these hard times where there are so many tests and tribulation. So today we want to move a step forward from there. We want to discuss al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen is translated into certainty. How can you have this certainty so that your faith is really genuine, so that the faith is really strong, so that you would not have any doubts at all? The main factor that prompts action is certainty. Yaqeen. Those who have yaqeen, those who have certainty, you will find that they pay their zakah quite happily. They don't have a problem paying their zakah because they know that this is just an investment that's going to come back to them. Whereas those who've got a bit of shake in yaqeen might think, okay, you know what, I might need this money. Maybe it's too much. I pay my taxes. They start to raise all sorts of doubts and raise all sorts of questions, the same as what Bani Israel did in that time. So, without this yaqeen, without having this certainty in iman, there are always going to be doubts. There are always going to be possibilities of shaitan leading us astray. Allah tells us again in the Quran, you know, we always like to refer to the Quran for proof of whatever we say. It says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Those who have acquired belief, those who believe, and then they had no doubts, no doubts at all whatsoever. It also says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Those who believe in what has been revealed to you, Prophet Muhammad, and what's been revealed before you, and in the hereafter, they have no doubts, they have yaqeen that there is a hereafter, and that we're all going to be there, we're going to be standing in front of Allah. It also talks about some of the people at the time of Prophet Muhammad, but still exists today. وَإِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَالسَّاعَةُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا قُلْتُمْ مَا نَدْرِي مَا السَّاعَةُ إِنْ نَظُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنًّا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ. The Quran talks about, Allah tells us, that when it is said that Allah's promise is the truth and that there is no doubt that there is a hereafter, what was the answer? The answer was, well, we're not quite sure. We don't know if really is really a hereafter, or is it the end of the world when we die? It's exactly a replica of what happens today, and a replica of what goes through a lot of people's minds today. All of us sometimes have these sort of thoughts that come to us through the shaitan, which prompts us to doubt and really ask the question sometimes, although we might not be even, you know, able to verbalize it, but it is true. It is, these are thoughts that can come through. And today, hopefully, we will be discussing how to achieve yaqeen that passes us beyond this, so that we don't ever have these thoughts or these doubts at all. So what are the signs of weak certainty? What is the signs of da'at yaqeen? If you want to tell whether you are afflicted with this or somebody is afflicted with this, although we are always taught not to judge other people, so judge ourselves. So the signs of the weakness of certainty, da'at yaqeen, is hypocrisy. This is the strongest sign. Because if anybody has strong yaqeen, they can never be hypocrites. Not performing the duties. For example, zakat. You know that if you have extra money, you're supposed to pay 2.5%. If you find yourself doubting that and saying, well, you know what, maybe I'll only pay 1% this year because I might need to save some money for the kids. This is da'at yaqeen. You don't have real strong yaqeen. You don't have real strong certainty in Allah's promises. So these are some of the signs. Other signs you'll find, for example, people finding excuses not to fast during Ramadan. You know what, the day is very long. I heard somebody saying that, you know, if you live in the West, you don't have to fast until sunset, you can fast only until midday. People who are finding those excuses, if you find yourself falling into these traps, be careful. It means that your certainty, your yaqeen is quite poor. There's a problem there. Now, just to bring it closer in a simple example. If you know that there are speed cameras on the road and that you're going to get caught, do you speed? You don't speed. Because you know that you can see the cameras, you know that they're going to catch you. It's the same thing. If you know that Allah is going to bring you to answer for all your deeds, if you are absolutely sure, if you can see this, would you do the wrong things? Of course you wouldn't. So why do we speed sometimes? Because there are no speed cameras. We're not afraid of getting caught. And this is exactly just to bring the idea closer. If you have the certainty, if you are sure that you are going to be dying, and when you die you're going to go and stand up in front of Allah, then you would not misbehave. You would not go astray. So, we need to elevate ourselves. Because the yaqeen has got several levels. It's not just one level, and I'm going to elaborate on that in a minute. It is not just a question of you either have it or you don't have it. It is not this way. It's levels. It's levels of belief. It's levels of strength of yaqeen. Levels of strength of certainty. Allah tells us in the Quran, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِينَ ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عِنَ الْيَقِينَ. If you have the real knowledge of yaqeen, if you have this knowledge of certainty, you would see the hellfire. And then you would see it. And alhamdulillah, this is from the mercy of Allah, that He did not go into the next stage of yaqeen when it comes to hellfire, and I'll elaborate on that later on again in the khutbah. There's an interesting hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ترضين أحد بسخط الله. Do not please anybody by displeasing Allah. ولا تحمدن أحد على فضل من الله. And do not think that any thing that came to you from somebody is from Allah. From this person, it's from Allah. ولا تذمن أحد على من لم يأتك. فإن الرزق يأتي من الله. And do not be angry if something doesn't come to you or if somebody doesn't give you something, because all the risk comes from Allah. لا يسوقه حرص حريص ولا يردنها عنك كراهية كاره. Your rizq is going to come to you. If somebody is too flimsy to give it to you, it will still come to you. And if somebody hates you, he cannot stop your rizq. Whatever is meant for you is going to come for you. So anyhow, it's a long hadith. I don't think we have time to go through it all. But it ends up with a very interesting part, a very interesting bit of advice to us. Where it says that Allah has made happiness in yaqeen and unhappiness fi shakk wa sakhat. If you have doubts, if you are not sure, if you are always unhappy with what's being given to you, you will be unhappy. That's the way of unhappiness. So it's not just a question of succeeding in the hereafter, even success in life. If you want to be happy, if you manage to elevate your yaqeen, if you manage to elevate your certainty to a certain degree, you will live happily and you will be content with everything that comes across to you. So I gave an example last week. I'll just repeat it again, just again to bring the idea a bit closer to you. Imagine a very poor man who is in debt, who's got lots of kids and hasn't got enough for him to sustain himself and his family, and is living in misery all the time. And somebody informs him that, you know, a solicitor calls him and says, you've got a very rich uncle who died and you've inherited £10 billion. How is the state of this man going to change? Now, the man did not get any money yet. The money will take months or maybe a year to get to him. But how will his psyche change? Will he still be miserable and unhappy? He will immediately feel content, although he did not get the money. He still doesn't have the money. He still is poor. He still doesn't have enough for him and his kids. But because of the promise of the money coming to him, it's going to change his state. It's going to change his approach. It's going to change his outlook to life. It's the same thing for all of us. Allah has promised us we are going to get all this in the hereafter. So why should we ever be sad in this life? Allah has promised that He's going to sustain us in this life and in the hereafter. If we have confidence in Allah's promise, this is going to change our outlook to life. It's going to change the way we see things, the way we perceive life. Again, for those who want the proof from the Quran, it says, أَفَمَنْ وَاعَدْنَاهُ وَعَدًا حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَقِيهِ كَمَنْ مَتَّعْنَاهُ مَتَاعَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. Is it the same if you've got two people, somebody who's been promised good things to come, and another person who's just been given good things in this life, and then the hereafter, he is going to see things that are not that pleasant. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Whatever you get in this life is nothing equivalent to will get to what you will get in the hereafter. Can you not even judge? Allah is asking us, asking you, me, asking everybody, do you not even have common sense to judge? How can you compare what you get in this life, a few years, to what you will get in the hereafter? Do you not have judgment? Can you not even think about it? Are you that silly? And it is true, if we think about it, you will think that, you know, it is common sense. So, again, just to give an example. Imagine you see two people walking, one of them driving a very old car and another one driving a Rolls Royce. The first impression is, oh, this one must be very happy in the Rolls Royce and the other one must be a poor person who is very miserable because he's driving this very old broken down car. However, the first one is driving because he's been invited to a great celebration where he's going to be rewarded and he's going to be awarded, and the other one is being driven to his death. Who is the happier of the two? The one in the Rolls Royce or the one in the old car? This is how we are in this life. If you look around you and you see people who are living it, you know, got everything, the money, the children, the kids, everything, but they are not driving towards the right direction. At the end, they are driving to their poor destiny. and another one who might be miserable in this life or appears to be miserable to you, but he knows that he's going to his reward. It's just to give you an example. So we mustn't judge what we look around us, what we see around us with the appearance. We must judge with the, it's going to come in the hereafter. So let's just take it to a bit of a deeper level. Now, when certainty reaches the hearts, it fills it with bright light. So those who have certainty in their hearts are filled with bright light. And it empties it of any sadness or despair. The heart becomes full of love to Allah. This is the level that we aspire to reach, inshallah. So the stronger the certainty, the stronger the faith, and it can withstand more tests in this life. So we need to work on this. We need to try and elevate our certainty. We need to try and elevate our belief and make it quite strong. So what are the types of certainty? What are the types of yaqeen? There is the certainty of knowledge, yaqeen al-khabar, where somebody you know is honest, tells you something, tells you a bit of news. So if somebody, if you trust me, for example, and I say, look, you know, behind this wall there is a kitchen. If you trust me, you know that this is the truth. This is yaqeen al-khabar. And in the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah tells you that there is no God but me. Worship me and rely on me. This is yaqeen al-khabar. Allah says that. So do we trust Allah? Do we trust what the Prophet tells us? Now, the next level of certainty is yaqeen al-dalil, that of proof. So now I told you that there is a kitchen behind this door. I open the door and you look and there is a kitchen inside. Now you trust it more. Now you know more. You've got better yaqeen. This is, you've elevated your certainty of the bit of news that I told you. And Allah prompts us to think about that. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Do they not look and see how we created creations and mountains and the sky and the earth? Do they not look to see these? These are proof of actually sight. You can see that. You can see the proof that Allah is the creator and the sustainer. Anyhow, it moves on to the third level, which is yaqeen al-mushahada. And this is when you experience the actual thing. So I told you that behind this wall there's a kitchen. I opened the door, you saw the kitchen. Now you walk into the kitchen and you start using the utensils and cooking in there. Do you have any doubts then? Obviously not, because you are in the kitchen and using it. So these are the three levels of yaqeen, the three levels of belief, the three levels of certainty. Not all aspects of faith can be achieved in this life. So there are certain things that we have to use the yaqeen of khabar to reach. For example, when Allah talks to us about the angels and talks to us about the jinn, these are things that we will not see in this life. But we have to believe in them. How do we get to believe in them without any doubts? It is by using the first two levels. So if you get to believe, if, as I said, going back to my example, I told you that behind this wall there is a kitchen, and you open the door and you went into the kitchen, then you know that I tell you the truth. Next time I tell you that behind this wall there is something else, you will believe it, you will not doubt it. So we have to use this to achieve belief in what we can't see in this world, to become as if we have actually experienced it. One of the Sahaba in the hadith of Prophet ﷺ told him, Ya Yazid, kayfa asbaht? How do you feel today? And the Sahabi said, Asbahtu ara arsha rabbi barizan, wa ka'anni bi ahli jannati yatana'amun wa bi ahli nari yatasayahun. I have now got to a stage where I can actually see the throne of my God, and I can actually see people in heaven enjoying themselves and see people in hell suffering. And the Prophet says, عرفت, عرفت, فلزم. You have known, you have got to this level of certainty. Stay there. Don't allow it to slip from your hands. Of course, the Sahabi did not literally see these things, but he got to such a level of yaqeen, such a level of certainty, that he could virtually see these things. So going back to the example I spoke about at the beginning, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِينَ ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. In this surah, Allah says, if you have the certainty of knowledge, you would see the hell. Then you will actually see it by sight. And this is from the mercy of Allah, because we all know that we're going to pass over the Sirat. The Sirat is a very thin passage in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, which goes over the hellfire. So everybody is going to pass through this Sirat. Everybody is going to have a chance to look at the hellfire, but inshallah we will pass through it without experiencing it. In another place, Allah says that some people will experience the hellfire. Some people will then get to the third stage, which hopefully you don't want to get to in when it comes to hellfire, where it says, وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مَنْ مُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ فَنُزُلٌ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَتَصْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. Those who do not have a belief are going to go into hellfire. They're going to experience it, and this is the حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. This is the highest level of yaqeen, of certainty in hellfire. So, certainty in Allah's promise and the expectation we have in the hereafter will give us happiness in this life. Misery comes from the weakness of certainty. You are miserable if your faith is flimsy. You are miserable because you're always frightened, you're always sad, you can suffer from depression. But if you know that Allah is with you, if you have actual certainty in that, then you will never be miserable. Now, how do we test our level of certainty? And again, let's refer to the Quran. The Quran says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٍ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهادا في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. If you see, if you look to yourself, Allah is enticing us to test ourselves. And this is a test that nobody can test you. You have to do it yourself. You have to look inside yourself. Because this is where you're going to be honest with yourself. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ. If your parents or your sons or your brothers and sisters, your siblings, or your husband or wife, or your people, or your money, or your business, or your houses, your residence, is more loved, you love this more, has a bigger place in your heart than Allah and His Messenger, then you are in trouble. Then you have a problem. Then your yaqeen, your faith, is flimsy. Then you will not, you have not achieved the desired level of faith. So as I said, there are levels of faith, levels of yaqeen. Ilmu al-yaqeen, yaqeen ilmi. Aynu al-yaqeen, seeing it. And haqqu al-yaqeen, which is the highest level. So I don't want to keep repeating it, but we already discussed that. Now, the obvious question is going to be, fine, okay, we understand that, you know, there are levels of yaqeen and it's more than one level. How do we achieve it? And inshallah we'll try to summarize that in the second part of the khutbah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. So let's try to get to the practical aspects. We all want to achieve this level of yaqeen. We all want to be on the straight path. We all want to be in a higher level of belief so that we can achieve happiness in this life and the hereafter. So what are the practical steps that we have to take? What can we do to achieve it? To start with, there's a little disclaimer. Allah chooses people that He wants to give this sort of yaqeen. But He chooses the people and gives them the proper tools to achieve it. So if you find yourself striving in this direction, it means that Allah is giving you the chance to go down this road. So the first step is to learn. The first step is to educate yourself. You have to educate yourself with the Quran, with the Sunnah, and with the Sayyid al-Salihin, the holy people, the people, the Sahaba, and the people of good of good standing. What did they used to do? So first step is educating yourself, learning. But there's a big difference between, and I'm sorry, in English it's very difficult to translate exactly, but there's a very big difference between ilm and ma'rifah. There's a difference between learning and knowledge. Because you can learn something, but if you're not able to apply it, then you don't really have the knowledge. So the knowledge means that you have to learn and then learn to apply what you have learned. To just clarify that, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali said that you can learn that the fire is hot and it will burn you if you touch it. This is learning. Now put your finger in the fire and it will burn you. This is knowledge, because now you have experienced it. Now you have no doubt, you've experienced it. So this is the thing. We can all learn. We have to try and learn. We have to try and acquire the learning first, but then move it to the next stage, which is actually knowledge. How do we achieve this? By applying what we've learned. So a lot of worship, a lot of dhikr, a lot of avoiding all what's haram, a lot of acquiring the proper manners in day-to-day dealing. So it's no good saying, you know, I know the Quran by heart, but I cheat people, and I harm people, and I harm my neighbors. You have not learned anything. You have acquired just the knowledge of the Quran. Sorry, you've acquired the learning of the Quran, but you haven't got the knowledge. If you are not applying the Quran in your life, then you haven't got the knowledge. When Sayyidah Aisha was asked about Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about his manners, she said, "Kanat akhlaqu al-Quran." His manners were the Quran. He was the Quran. He applied the Quran everything in his life. So, as I said, the next step is to apply what you acquired, what you have learned. So, in day-to-day life, you have to experience humility. You have to be reliant person, somebody that, you know, they rely on you. You have to have taqwa. You have to have all these things applied to your life day to day. And this is why in all our prayers we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Why do we keep asking for that? Because we keep asking Allah to guide us. We keep asking Allah to help us on this straight path. Now, I'll leave you with an interesting thought. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been forgiven for any sins, although he doesn't have any sins, but for whatever he's done. And Allah has informed him that he's been forgiven for anything that he's done, or anything that he will do, and that he's going to go to heaven. And yet the prophets used to do istighfar 70 times, or another narration, 100 times a day. So what was he asking forgiveness from, if he's already been forgiven? Have we ever thought about that? And if we think about it, it's very simple, really. Every time you elevate your faith to a new level, you will feel that the level you were at before was not really up to standard. And you have to do istighfar because you're not at this higher level. The Prophet ﷺ was continuously being elevated to new levels. And this is what we should aspire to. We should aspire to elevating ourselves to a new level. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Man istawa yawma, فهو مغبون. If somebody's days, if 2 days in your life are equal, then you are a loser. If a day passes by in your life and you have not elevated yourself, if a day passes by in your life and you have not acquired a higher level of iman, if a day passes in your life and you have not moved to a new height, then you are a loser. So our life should be a continuous trial to try and get closer to Allah. Our life should be a continuous attempt to elevate our iman. Our life should be a continuous attempt to elevate our certainty. If we can work on that, if we can try a little bit every day, if we don't allow life to overtake us and we just don't think about that and one day passed after another, then we will be much happier people in this life and inshallah in the hereafter. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا، وأزن قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم. وأقم الصلاة. الحمد لله.